Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this day, a day you have given to us, that we might worship you. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit, that still small voice, would speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In The Encourager, Charles Mylander writes, "Sunrise was dawning when Los Angeles motorcycle police officer Bob Vernon saw a red pickup truck speeding through a stop sign. This guy must be late for work," he thought. He turned on his emergency lights and radioed that he was in pursuit. The pickup pulled over and the officer approached. Meanwhile, in the truck, the driver thought, "The cops already know." He was scared. He rested his hand on his gun in the seat next to him as he had just robbed a 24-hour market a few minutes ago, the stack of stolen money beside him. The officer said, "Good morning, sir. May I see your..." And he never finished the sentence. The driver shoved his gun towards the policeman's chest and just fired inches away. The cop was knocked flat 7 feet away. A few seconds later, to the shock of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled out a service revolver, and fired twice. The first bullet went through the open window. The second one tore through the door and ripped into the driver's leg. "Don't shoot!" the thief screamed, throwing the gun and sack of money out the pickup window. What saved the policeman's life was a dozen layers of Kevlar, the super strong fabric used in bulletproof vests. Only 3/8 of an inch thick, Kevlar can stop bullets cold. Now you see, the Kevlar did its job. It did what it was designed to do. If I could attribute the Kevlar to human response, it would have to be, I did what I was created to do. And I feel pretty good about that. Providing life to a soul that could have died. And we are all like that Kevlar, carefully constructed for a specific purpose, to give life. Each person has been given a shape, which we've all been given, and what we've been looking for over the last 3 weeks. God has given each of us a shape. S for spiritual gift, H for heart, A for abilities, what we're going to talk about today, P for personality, and E for experience. The thing with the shape is, though, it's up to us to determine what that shape is that God has given us. You see, when we were born, God did not send an invoice to our parents saying, "This is what your child's shape is." For instance, someone who has the following shape may be a spiritual gift of exhortation, who loves to minister to others using words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, or counseling others. Somebody with that gift of hospitality, providing a welcoming and warm environment where people feel cared for. Or maybe their heart is for those who do not yet believe, especially for babies and unwed mothers. Their abilities are cheerfully encouraging and inspiring others to higher heights. Maybe their personality in relating to others is reserved and self-controlled, more one-on-one than found in groups. Maybe their experiences include some past mistakes. A friend who ended a pregnancy early because the baby was diagnosed with Down syndrome, and their own out-of-wedlock pregnancy, which they carried to full term and then gave the baby to a Christian adoption agency. Painful experiences. And with a shape like this, a person could easily serve in an environment such as a CareNet pregnancy center, or help with babies or other mothers in situations that maybe they have found themselves in and need to be encouraged. encouragement may be without a wedlock mother's pregnancies to continue their pregnancy, instruction and equipping to have them raise their child or to allow them to be adopted and to begin to understand God's love for them and the baby. But like I said, we have no invoice at birth. We're all just a bundle of flesh and blood and nerves only concerned with food, warmth, cleanliness, and love. But it's when we come to know the love of God that we receive our spiritual gift. And hopefully as you become more mature in your walk with God, you will seek what purpose God has created you for, beginning with that spiritual gifts inventory. Have you all taken your spiritual gifts inventory yet? Yes, Pastor. Have you answered those questions I gave you last week about abilities? Say, yes, Pastor. There are more copies of this in back. And today I've given you a list of abilities. Don't take it out now. Don't take it out now. But that, those three things, along with what we will be talking about in the next 2 weeks, will help us to form our shape, help us to discover what it is or affirm what it is that God has gifted us to do. And when it comes to abilities, the best way to determine them is to look at what you love to do. What you love to do. When I say love to do, I'm talking about those activities you almost can't imagine not doing in your life. For some, we couldn't imagine life without stories and words, books, or designing things, learning or improving, organization. There are some people that just organize so well. I'm not one of them. Some people love to make food. They love. I walked through the fellowship hall before coming down here. You should see it. The spread of different breads on the table. And all of the different jellies in which to spread on that bread. As we celebrate, as a reminder, Communion Sunday, World Communion Sunday today. Somebody organized it. Somebody baked. Somebody had the ability to put it out on the table and made it look so delightful. I almost didn't come down here. Some people are just really good at planning for the future, or others who just love to play music and do it well, or riding horses, or helping animals, or taking care of kids. You see, these activities point toward the abilities you naturally use. So when you look at activities that you enjoy most, the ones you could not see living life without, these activities might point to one or more of your abilities. Say you love to quilt. Well, that's an activity. This points to the ability to kind of see a vision of what you want to make and then to organize shapes and colors and then to coordinate the stitching and the panels. But how you use your natural abilities is also important. In other words, it matters how you use those abilities. You can certainly make quilts, but will they glorify God? We have a group of ladies here who love to make quilts. And Sheila got involved with Prayers and Squares and organized a group of people that meet once a week to make quilts for people, which doesn't seem like much. Until you add the fact that these quilts, these little ties here, will be tied by you, drawing you into the ministry of glorifying God, drawing you into the ministry of prayer, which glorifies God, which then gets sent to somebody who's in need of a prayer quilt, who will hopefully what? Glorify God, knowing that they are not alone in whatever area of their life that they are struggling with or suffering with. When I began to play guitar, I was 18 years old. It was for summer camp, songs to provide some music for singing mostly nonsensical songs to a group of kids. I tell you what, it was much better to play guitar than it was to sit with my cabin of boys and try to get them to sing. But after camp, I continued to play guitar, but it was just for me. And it was mostly secular music because that's what I heard on the radio. John Denver. I loved John Denver. And so I would just get my guitar and play for me. But then what happened is I began to be interested in the things of God. God started to connect with me once again. And I finally said, okay, God, I want to serve you. I want to give my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my experiences, my personalities to you. And so God allowed me to use a talent, an ability that I had to play guitar, to at first play on what was called a Sunday Nighter. And Sunday Nighters were a group, two Sunday school classes about my age then in their 20s, early 30s. We'd get together after the Sunday night service at someone's house. We'd eat. So somebody made stuff for us, their gifts, their abilities. Somebody hosted it, their gifts, their abilities. And me and a couple other guys would play our guitars and we'd sing some worship songs. And that fed my soul. That was a blessing to me, but God was using me to bless others. You see, it's that worship of God. It's that activity that we do that worships God. Those things we love to do, when put in the context of helping others, all of a sudden, wow, God, you're using me? It was then that I knew I was not only pleasing God by using the abilities that I had, the abilities that God gave me, but it was using them to help others worship God too. In the movie, you remember the movie Chariots of Fire? Eric Liddell, who is arguably one of the fastest men in the world at the time, was also a missionary for God. And his sister was saying to him, don't worry about the Olympics, the 24 Olympics. Just go to China and be a missionary, which is where his parents lived and what they had done. His sister was against him running at all and thought he should concentrate on his work in China. Eric's response in the movie was this. Read it with me. God has made me to be a missionary, but he has made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Now, I don't know if it was an exact word-for-word statement or if it was movieized. That's a new word, movieized. But when he ran at fairs and such, he would talk with the crowds afterward, the people that he ran against and the crowds that gathered. And he was using his God-given ability to run fast, to gather the crowds so that he could then talk to them about the love of God. As we read through 1 Peter this morning, chapter 4, there were a couple of verses that really stuck out to me. And one of them really impacted me years ago. It's this verse from 1 Peter 4, 5. Read it with me. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Each of us will have to give an account to God with how we use the time, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the talents, the abilities, how we use them to glorify God. That is what Scripture says, and it bothered me that maybe I wasn't using what I could be for God. And I began to do things like play my guitar for our little prayer service at church. And then I helped to form a praise band at a church that never had a praise band, and praise bands weren't very familiar. It was just, we call ourselves the Guitar Guys because there were three of us that played guitars. And we eventually got a drummer occasionally and a pianist. And it was a lot of fun. But I was using my ability to glorify God. What is it that God has given you in which you can glorify God? Maybe it's technological. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's putting boxes of stuff together in the personal needs pantry for people who are hurting. Maybe it's ushering or greeting on a Sunday morning. What is the abilities that God has given you that maybe you're not using, or that you're using but you're not using to the glory of God? You see, each of us will have to give an account to God for how we use that which He has given us. Most notably, our spiritual gifts and our abilities. With that, what do you want to hear God say? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear God say. Isn't that what you want to hear God say? Let me be clear. We can use our abilities that God gave us. We can use them for ourselves, or we can use them for God. We can be a good and faithful servant. Peter goes on to say this in verse 10. Read it with me. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Do you see that? Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God's unmerited favor can reach somebody. You can reach somebody with your ability that somebody else in this church cannot. Maybe it's only you using your ability with the people that you know that will make a difference in somebody's life. Now, I also like to talk. And one of the things as a pastor, well, really as a Christian, that I've done some studying long before I became a pastor, was this idea of apologetics, defending the gospel. At Dan Taylor's memorial service this past Friday, there was a young man who came in late. Frankly, he was dressed like he came from an auto shop. He wasn't very clean. He had this long, straggly beard. And he could be one of those guys you just don't want to mess with. And he came with his mom, who was in a walker. They sat down at a table. I was with some of the other helpers as we began to eat. And really, frankly, I'm going to be really honest with you. All I wanted to do was eat and be with some people that I knew and let them carry the conversation. I was done emotionally. I'm going through the line. The son and the mother, they sit at a table all by themselves. And then God started talking to me. Paul? You need to go sit with them. Don't go sit with the other workers and let them carry the conversation. You need to go sit with them and let them know God loves them. I didn't know how God was going to do that. And so I'm to the salads now. And I'm looking up, and yeah, they're sitting by themselves. So I went over and sat right next to him. BJ was his name. We got into this wonderful conversation about God. It was incredible. Now, he has a problem with the Bible. Here I am. I love God's word. And God had worked on me with some of the same issues he was having with the Bible 25 years ago. And so as we sat together, as we talked about work, as we talked about his educational experiences, some of the things he's been experiencing recently, conversation eventually turned to Christianity. He said, you know, I'm a Christian. I know God. I know Jesus. I love God. I love Jesus. I just don't love the Bible. And a conversation happened. And I felt so alive in that moment because God was using me. Not because I wanted to be used. Well, I did. I really wanted to just sit down and be quiet. But God provided an opportunity for my abilities to be used, a love for sharing God's word to be used. And so I used it. I could have said, God, forget it. I'm tired. I'm emotionally spent. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in BJ's life as a result of that. I said something, I don't know what it was, but he said, another pastor said it differently, and I really like how you said that. I'm like, okay, God. Praise be to God, right? Maybe it makes a difference in his life. You see, the question is, do we want to be a blessing to God? Do we want God to use us and feel God's pleasure when we're being used? And if the answer is yes, then you need to know your abilities. You need to know what your spiritual gift is. You need to know where your heart beats. For whom? You know, maybe it's for babies or toddlers or kids. Maybe it's for young adults, or maybe it's for older people. Or maybe it's for people like me. I don't know. But God wants to use you, and if you want to feel God's pleasure, then go use your abilities, your talents, your gifts for God's glory. I felt really good after BJ left. I wasn't as tired. I was still emotionally spent, but I was on that spiritual high. Because I know God had used me to make a difference in someone's life. I pray that God has used me to make a difference in someone's life. The choice is yours. Well done, good and faithful servant, right? It'll take work and time to figure out what those abilities are. Take that checklist home and start checking off. What is it that I really love to do? Think about it. Because God wants to bless you. God wants you to experience the complete joy in serving Him in ways that only you can serve. Don't ever look at someone else and say, man, they're a better evangelist than me. There are other people that know the Bible so much better than me. What could I ever tell BJ? Right? Maybe I should have said, called up somebody, maybe one of my professors, and said, hey, I've got this guy at my table. And he's having a problem with the Word of God. Can you talk to him? You're really good with this stuff. Here, BJ, here's a seminary professor, right? No, God used me, my gifts, my talents, my abilities, the things that I love to do, to hopefully make a difference in his life. All you got to do, find out what your spiritual gift is. Determine what your heart beats for. Really look at the abilities that God has given you. And then as we go through these next 2 weeks, your personality and your experiences, as we look at those, to begin to determine, this is where God can use me best. This is where God can use me best. Now say you have the gift of hospitality, but your personality is really, you know, one-on-one, don't put me in front of a group, right? Right? And so somebody comes up to you and says, yeah, I've gone to church. I don't go anymore. And you say, well, why is that? Well, you know, something happened at my church a long time ago, and I could never forgive those people. And so you begin to understand what their hang-ups are. But here's the key for somebody like that who's more introvert and does, you know, one-on-one maybe better than a group, is you tell them what God's doing in your life. You know, you hear that they were unable to forgive somebody, maybe you tell that story. Where God said to you, look it, you're not going to go any further in this life until you forgive that person who hurt you. And you did. And you began to feel the release of being set free from being bound by unforgiveness. And God's prompting you, share that story. And you're like, God, what? No, I'm not going to share that story. God says again, share the story. And so you share that story of how God set you free from an experience of unforgiveness. And maybe you part ways, never to see this person again. But all of a sudden, in their story of maybe coming back to God, maybe coming back to church and worshiping God, is this time when somebody reminded them or told them of an experience where they couldn't forgive and how God helped them to forgive. And that story was your story. But because you shared it, it has now become a part of their story. Do you understand that? Do you hear what I'm saying? I may never see BJ again, but I know I've entered into his story. And I don't know how God is going to use that, how the Spirit is going to prompt him to maybe get into the Word again, to give it a second shot. And I don't know who God is going to put into BJ's life who's going to help him a little further along than what I did. Do you understand how important it is to use your talents, your spiritual gifts, your abilities for the glory of God, how it can make a difference in somebody else's life? So, somebody a long time ago decided, for whatever reason, I don't know, that October, the first Sunday in October, was going to be World Communion Sunday. I don't know if they were one of those people who had the gift of administration or had the ability to see how this could bring all Christians around the world together on a specific day once a year. Not just every Sunday, but once a year that all Christians would come to church and take communion together. I don't know who it was, but I flip in my Christian calendar and I say, oh, today is what? World Communion Sunday. And then I get together with our worship team and we looked at this a few weeks ago, even months ago, and we decided, what are we going to do for World Communion Sunday? And so they're using their gifts. They're using their talents to create bread. Go down to the other room and see the spread. Using your gifts and abilities makes a difference in the life of the church and in the life of the kingdom of God. Find your kingdom purpose. Be relentless. Because when you find your kingdom purpose, God's going to use you in ways that you're going to like, wow, really? So I'm going to use my gifts and my talents and abilities for the glory of God. And I pray that you are too. So that God would be glorified. So that your kingdom purpose would turn your motor, give you energy, give you purpose, set you on a path to helping others to know God, to get a little further with God because you used the talents that you had. Amazing. I can see what you can do as I know you, and I am amazed. Simply amazed. Now go and amaze others to God's glory. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you the thanks for all that you do in our lives, for your Holy Spirit who leads and guides and directs us, who helps us to discover those spiritual gifts, the heart that we have, the abilities that we have, and can use them to direct our lives so that we can be more alive than maybe we ever felt before because we're doing the kingdom work. And so we thank and praise you, Almighty God, and ask that you would lead us as we continue to seek what it is that you have designed us to do for your glory, for the kingdom's purpose. And Lord, as we come to communion, we understand that today there are people around the world that we are taking communion with, not just our little church, not just the church down the road, but the world. And so as we come to communion, Lord, we take a moment now to confess any known sin in our life, any area of our life where we have fallen short. We take a moment now to confess that to you. So take this moment now to just confess in your heart to God those things which you have done that have been displeasing to God, or maybe those things that you have not done, those things that you have a kind of brushed God aside. Confess those now to God. Your word, Lord, says that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sin no more. And so, Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for cleansing us, for making us new, so that we might come before you forgiven and holy. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.